young.
Javi's young. We're having fun. What is up, y'all? Javier and Elliot back for a random Wednesday podcast discussion in the cannabis space. We've had some incredible discussions on this show, but Javier and I have semi-retired, coming back only for cool people.
Lovely. Well, nothing random about our guest today, a NASDAQ-traded cannabis-related business. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough.
It's going to be awesome. I know. And honestly, they've had some news within their own right. We're going to get an awesome update from the company and where they're at. It is NASDAQ-listed AFCG, that's Advanced Flower Capital. We haven't heard from them in a while, and we're going to learn why. They have a new CEO, or a newer CEO, I should say, for this side of the business. So we're excited to chat with Dan Neville, but he's not new to cannabis, right? So we're going to get a really cool perspective over how they're approaching the industry, and he's able to use his experience. But beyond that, Javier, we have some events coming up. Check out our Chicago Cannabis Capital Conference. It'll be the most important room you can be in leading up to the election. Politicians, MSO C-suites, capital providing C-suites. I mean, they're all going to be in Chicago, October 8th and 9th. And then after that, if you're in California, make sure November 12th, you're in Anaheim with us. Our last two events of the year, but content every day on bidziga.com/cannabis. Javier, shall we get started?
Let's go. Let us. All right.
Let's do it. Producer. All right. Welcome in, Dan. How you doing, my friend?
Very good. Thanks for having me on again. It's great to see you all.
Good to see you too, man. It's been a bit, I think, since we've chatted with you around the cannabis space. But give us a little sense of your experience and how you ended up at AFC.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been at AFC for 9 months now in the CEO seat. And we've made a lot of great progress over at the AFC side of things. Prior to joining up at AFC, I spent 5 years at Ascend Wellness Holdings, which is a multi-state operator in the cannabis space, and worked there as an early employee, started out as SVP of finance, and then stepped into the CFO role for my last 3.5 years there, working on the IPO, the debt capital markets and M&A side of the business, as well as just working on scaling up the overall platform, overseeing and working on the build out of the portfolio from no dispensaries operational to 38 dispensaries operational across 7 states. So I picked up a lot of really good experience, I think, on the operations side of things, scaling up a business, navigating this difficult industry, that really have helped as I've stepped into the role at AFC, where our clients are all in the cannabis space, facing similar challenges, issues, growth with AU flips. And I think that unique perspective helps as we're diligencing, underwriting, and structuring loans into portfolio companies.
Interesting, man. Interesting. Go ahead, Abby.
I understand, the structure, how this is structured, right? AFC used to be one company, but now you spun off, right? Sunrise Realty Trust. Can you explain the rationale behind that spinoff? What each of these two companies does, what is the connection between the companies?
Sure. So AFC started to look back a couple years ago at the commercial real estate side of the business. And that was partially driven by the opportunity set that the founders of the business saw in cannabis. 2-3 years ago, or the last 2 years, I'd say, in cannabis, there's been quite a bit of a drought in capital availability, both on the equity side of things as well as the debt side of things. And so about 2 years ago, the company took a bit of a pause on the cannabis underwriting side of things and deploying new capital into cannabis because of the lack of capital and capital availability. And I think looking back in retrospect, that was a really good decision because some of the credits in those vintages really haven't performed as well as one would have hoped, given the ongoing pressures in the industry and the lack of capital. And so at the same time, the company started looking at the commercial real estate business on the debt side of things. There had been a period where banks had been stepping back, even before Silicon Valley Bank and some of the other blowups, creating an opportunity for alternative lenders to step in on the commercial real estate side of things. The company realized from feedback from our investors that cannabis and commercial real estate, while we love both of those opportunities, really folks were looking to invest in AFC for a pure play on the cannabis space. And so having CRE mixed into that portfolio muddied the story a little bit. Similarly, I think investors are looking right now for opportunities to invest in new vintage, not the legacy vintage office mess that we have going on right now, but Sunbelt mixed use exposure on the commercial real estate side of things, which is the target market of Suns. And I think Suns, the ticker is Suns. That's our shorthand. Sunrise Realty Trust is the company's name. But Suns, which is trading on NASDAQ now post split, gave investors a unique way to express that view on Sunbelt growth, multifamily exposure, as well as the healthy yields that can be achieved given the step back of bank capital within that market. So shortly after I joined, we started the process of this spin. There's a lot of work that was involved in getting over the finish line in terms of getting the SEC filings together, getting the company ready, public company readiness, et cetera. And a couple weeks ago, we spun off Suns from AFC. So now AFC is a pure play expression of cannabis exposure and lending into the cannabis space. And Suns is separately traded on the NASDAQ under the ticker Suns, with their Southern commercial real estate debt focus. And so investors can have the choice of what they want to play and how they want to express. And you can get those exposures separately as opposed to being muddled together.
Mm-hmm. Can you just, in terms of, you know, thank you for the relationship between Suns and AFC, looking more back at AFC, right, with this transition back into some active participation in this industry, right? Yeah, I'm sure you and your colleagues saw the growth opportunity once again, or at least a place that you could play and show growth for your investors within the market at the very least, right? So, you know, thinking of it that way, you know, where is that opportunity? And maybe that is your ideal client, your current portfolio, a mix of both. Maybe it's an exciting kind of revelation around SSOs, right? I don't know. I'm just kind of curious, like, tell me a little bit more about the impetus, you know, for AFC to perhaps once again become a cannabis focused entity.
Yeah, so the portfolio that we have today and the pipeline that we have, I think, is more importantly, is as strong as it's ever been. I think we're starting to see the confluence of two factors. There's been a capital drought for a while. There are some assets that are in distress out there right now, or even if the assets aren't in distress, companies are trying to figure out, how do I focus down? How do I slim down to my core business that I really care about, and are divesting parts of the business to support that? And so there is a rise of what we call cannabis 3.0 operators that we're starting to see. And this is folks who have been there, done that, been around the industry for a while, maybe had a prior successful exit in the industry, and are now coming back to do it again, and have taken all the lessons that they've learned and the scars they have on their back from the last 5-6 years in the industry, and applying that to a new venture. And we're seeing a lot of those players. They're out there. They have clean capital stacks. They don't have some of the legacy liabilities that exist with the current set of public companies. And they're looking to take advantage of this capital drought in the market and acquire assets or acquire facilities at 25 cents on the dollar relative to the capital that was invested previously. So that, especially with my M&A background and the ability to really understand the ins and outs of cannabis M&A, is very interesting to us and a place that we're looking to deploy capital. Secondly, I'd say there's a lot of activity on both the AU and the Med Flip side of things. So you have three big states over the next few years that likely convert over to adult use. And that's Ohio, which is right on the cusp of starting, Pennsylvania and Florida with the vote that they have in November. And that conversion and that growth in the market, typically you see a 2 to 3x increase from the med to adult use transition, is a lot of incremental demand that requires incremental points of distribution to be built out, more canopy being added on, and all of that requires capital. So one example that we've talked through previously is the AU flip in Ohio. There's 192 dispensaries that are going to be new dispensaries that will be built out in Ohio with the issuances that come with the AU flip. Each of those dispensaries likely requires about $1.5 million, can be plus, can be minus, depending on the build out of capital to be built out. So that's $300 million of capital that's required for the AU flip just on the retail side. And then you look at canopy in the market. There's about 400,000 square feet of canopy in the market today based on our estimates, which would equate to 300,000 square feet of flowering canopy. We think the current canopy supports about an $800 million market. And estimates out there peg that market to anywhere between $1 billion and $2 billion market. So to service that demand, which will grow over time as incremental points of distribution come on, requires additional capital. We peg that at about 200,000 square feet of canopy. That's another $150 million of capital that's required. So just that one state for an AU flip with its existing infrastructure is a little under $500 million of capital that's required. And that's really our opportunity set. And you can say the same thing for Pennsylvania, for Florida. And then I think equally exciting is medical states that are starting to turn on. Alabama, Georgia, if North Carolina flips, Kentucky, those states have no infrastructure. And so building out de novo is, probably somewhere around $200 to $300 million of capital per state. And so you add these numbers up, they get big really quick. And then, so that's the demand side. And then on the supply side of things, in terms of who's providing that capital, there are, maybe 10 players out there, right? There's AFC, there's a competitive mortgage REIT that's out there. There's a couple private funds, a couple small banks are playing around. And then you have the sale leaseback guys like IIPR. But the supply side of the capital, from our perspective, with all these flips happening, doesn't really match up with the demand side. And that's new capital ignoring refinancings, ignoring capital for M&A. And so there's a lot of demand, not a lot of supply. And that's what got us excited about the opportunity that's ahead of us over the next 3-4 years.
Thank you. Great answer, man.
See, very often on Twitter, among analysts, et cetera, is, you know, that people bring up very often AFC's dividend, right? It's among the highest in the industry.
Yep.
It also represents roughly 90% of your earnings. Can you explain the dividend strategy, why you choose to go this route, why you offer such a hefty or generous dividend, right? And how it affects the company's performance ultimately.
Right. So we're structured as a mortgage REIT. So as a REIT, that means that we have to pay out between 90 and 100% of distributable earnings in the form of a dividend. What investors get for that, because of that REIT structuring, is they get tax advantage distributions on the dividend side of things relative to what you could get elsewhere. I also think generally people like current income and some current yield. You know, I think especially as more and more people and the boomers approach retirement age, you know, yield vehicles are increasingly attractive to somebody who's entering retirement, whether that's professional investors investing in yield-based vehicles or individual investors. And, you know, our dividend in part is high, because we have pretty attractive returns. You know, if you look at the yield on our portfolio relative to equity REITs, relative to other, commercial mortgage REITs, the yields that we're targeting are IRRs, mid to high teens IRRs. And so if you're achieving that level of IRR and you have to distribute 90% of it, you know, it leads to a hefty dividend. Now, the yield is obviously a function of the stock price. And, you know, we would argue that there was some overhang associated with the muddling of the commercial real estate and cannabis story. But that's the market to for the market to figure out over the medium term. And we're happy to be paying out a very strong dividend and dividend yield in the interim.
Mm-hmm. So thank you, man. I think this has been super insightful in terms of the strategy that AFC is taking with the space, what you're looking for. Obviously, markets are incredibly important to the future of the company and your investors' return. When it comes to the future of debt in cannabis, right? You know, I think you have, you know, three or four major operators that have debt, you know, kind of deadlines this year. We just saw Ascend refinance theirs, 13 months early. We're going to have multiple of the major companies, you know, have to look at refinancing before, you know, their deadlines next year, right? What are we looking at in the space when it comes to the state of debt? Right. You know, the refinancing seem like they are happening, you know, they're going to take place. Like nobody will go into default. Those headlines are always negative for the space at large when it comes to stock price and performance. Right. But when it comes to, you know, where you all play, the state of debt in this industry versus regulated or, you know, other regulated industries, I'm just kind of curious about the next mile marker that we should be looking for companies like AFC, maybe, like, you know, some of the other competitors that you were discussing before, in terms of what's next. Obviously, I think you all being the debt providers are moving away from like super high percentages, right? Super high annual interest rates. So I'm just, give me a sense of your thoughts on the state of the debt market when compared to the cannabis industry, and maybe what's next for the overall industry.
Yeah, so yields have moved up just across the board with the moves in interest rates. So Ascend is a perfect example because it's pretty actual and just got done. So in 2021, and I know it well, in 2021, Ascend raised capital at 9.5% interest rate. And they just refinanced their debt, if you look at the all-in yield, at a little over 14%. So there was about a 450 basis point move up in their cost of debt capital over the last few years. And I think that's not unique to Ascend. You're seeing that across the cannabis space. And we'll probably see similar kind of, you know, rates or maybe even a little wide for some of the other refinancings that are coming up. That is partially a function of the move up in rates generally. Right now, as we sit here today, you can get yields in the low singles for regular way industries. Cannabis is always going to have to trade a bit wide of that because of the federal illegality and the sin premium that you see in that business. You see casino debt trades wide of regular way high yield because of that sin premium. Same thing applies for cannabis. And then part of that, I think, is just the industry has proven to be more competitive over the last 3 years than people thought in the summer and fall of 2021, when a lot of this debt was refied. So there's some that's just driven by macro interest rates, and there's some that's driven by the performance of the individual companies or the industries relative to expectations a few years ago. If public debt is trading at 14, private debt should be trading wide of that, right? Because it's an illiquid investment. I think on the AFC side of things, I can't speak to the strategy of other players. We are going to look to move up the quality curve into better operators, better businesses, bulletproof credits, and not chase yield. While still achieving the same mid to high teens target IRRs that we've looked to do historically. So that's our view. You know, there may be other players who have a different strategy, want to chase yield. You can certainly get it out there today. But there's an old saying that more people have died chasing yield than at the point of a gun. And so we're gonna look to move up the quality curve, and back really good, successful operators, with very tight underwriting.
Great. Dan, I think some very interesting points you made here, man. I think we're always excited to see capital providers participating in the cannabis space. So glad that AFC is back active. Or reactivating, whatever the proper term is there. I know you didn't go away per se, but looking at the space ahead, AFC is definitely going to be a major player. We're excited to see you in Chicago. You're going to be part of a great discussion there. And if you're looking for capital, you all watching this, Dan Neville right here, CEO of AFC, Advanced Flower Capital, AFCG on the NASDAQ. Thanks again for being here. Thanks, Javi, as the co-host here. We'll see you soon. We'll be right back.